And the music there of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And it is program number 490 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're at 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, and we have a temperature reading of 13 degrees. We have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Daryl Voorhees. Good morning, Daryl. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very good. And yourself?
I'm just great. We're just fine here.
All righty. And Daryl, where are we talking to you from?
We are talking from Painesville. I live right now in Painesville. We moved here about a year and a half ago from Long Lake, right by New London.
Okay.
So we're kind of new residents around here, but well, anyway, we like here.
Well, that's great. And where were you born and raised, Daryl?
I was born in Benson. However, I was raised in between Hancock and I graduated from Morris High School.
Oh, okay. All right. And so along the way, well, somehow you picked up the trumpet. Where did that all begin? In high school, grade school, or on your own? How did that get started?
It began a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I was in second grade.
Okay.
And my mother wanted me to play trumpet. And so I went to school, and we were just starting a band, and this was in Hancock, Minnesota.
Okay.
I didn't know a trumpet from a clarinet from a saxophone. I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
I brought home a clarinet. Well, that was obviously the wrong instrument because my mother wanted me to play trumpet.
Okay.
So I had to bring it back and get a trumpet. And I did get a cornet, and I still have that cornet today. Hello?
Keep going, Daryl. I'm messing with the levels here. I'm trying to get just a little bit clearer signal.
Okay.
So, okay. So, at any rate, that's where you began with the trumpet then, huh?
That's exactly right, yep.
Okay. Exactly. And so went on to play in band in school then? And
Well, I went on to play throughout high school. And I got to be fairly decent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, then when I was a senior, I think I started playing in dance bands, and that probably was a little bit against the rules, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it all started.
Okay, so obviously you didn't make your living on music. You had another daytime job besides, huh?
Obviously, I did have another daytime job.
And where was that?
Before I had that daytime job, I was going to school.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And I went to St. Cloud State for a while, and that's where I got hooked up with Gil Style Band.
Oh, really? Okay.
And someone heard me and said, this kid could be something. So,
uh-huh.
So Ross Scalise,
senior,
father of the younger Ross.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was the one who picked me up, and we went to the Richmond Coliseum. That was my first job.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Neat.
That was my first job.
Neat. And do you happen to remember any of the other guys that were in the band at that time?
Yeah, at that time, I think the lead trumpet was someone, I don't remember his name, but he was a student at St. John's.
Okay.
And I believe that there was Danny Baltus.
On sax, yeah.
And maybe, I'm not sure about the first sax, the other sax, I think it might have been... I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But then Miney Jensen was the drummer.
Yeah.
Willie Backus was the bass player.
Tuba player, yeah.
Of course, it was Gil. And then once in a while, there would be eight pieces with Ross Scalise on banjo.
Oh, yeah. And those, I would have to think, were some good years playing back then. We're talking, what, early 60s, late 50s probably?
Early 60s, late 50s, exactly right. I started, I think, in 1959 or 60. I'm not sure.
Okay, okay.
Either one of those 2 years, something like that. But it was at Richmond Coliseum, and those places were packed at that time.
Yeah. Even before you started playing, the place was full, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, great days. And, of course, you went on, played all those years with Gil until he decided to sell the band, and he sold it to Ray Dronnell, and then you continued on with Ray for some time.
Yeah, exactly. I was in the service for a couple of years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think I started with Ray again.
Uh-huh.
And, I continued up until about retirement time.
So, okay. So I was going to ask you, what was your daytime job? Where did you work, Daryl?
Well, I worked at Honeywell.
Uh-huh.
In St. Louis Park.
Okay.
Well, many places.
Okay.
But anyway, that's where my daytime job was, and that's how I made my living. So we lived in Blaine,
uh-huh,
Minnesota, for many, many years, for close to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and that's about it.
Well, and then you met a charming young lady along the way, and I think you guys got married, huh?
Yep, we got married in 1966, and we have one son, and he's also a current Honeywell employee. So,
okay.
So we have lots of memories from Honeywell.
Okay, and your wife's name?
Jane.
All right. Yes, and I've met her on several occasions, just a wonderful lady, and she's done everything you needed, huh? Kept the household together and helped you raise your son, Darren, and things have been good, huh?
Exactly.
There
exactly
you go.
Right.
And
I moved to New London after I retired,
uh-huh,
and we lived outside of New London on a lake roughly... close to 20 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
Then we moved.
Neat. All right. And what year did you retire, Daryl? Do you remember?
I think it was 2000.
2000? So you've had a few years to get used to this retirement thing.
Yeah, I've had a few years.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Well, I'm starting my second year, and I think it's just a great program. I highly encourage it for a lot of people. Work hard, get to retirement age, and try it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So back to the music business. So you've been on and off again. Have you played with anybody else besides Gil and Ray? Was there anybody else that you had worked in with?
Well, in the early days, there were a couple of bands, but I don't actually remember what the name of them were.
Okay.
But mainly it's been Gil Style and Ray Dronel.
Okay. And having been through it, and myself too, I thought Ray had a pretty good book, and Gil there. They developed a very good book, didn't they?
I thought we were a really good band in the 60s and the 70s. I thought we were an excellent band, and I think we're well respected in the area.
Yeah, and I never got to really officially play a full job with Gil, but he impressed me as quite the promoter. I mean, he was in Realty and just a go-getter. And he took you guys on trips, on band trips. Did you get along on some of those to Texas and wherever they went?
Yeah, we did go to Texas. We went down through Kansas, Oklahoma, and into Texas, and playing every night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then I decided that I did not want to be a professional musician because it was playing every night, and this just got to be too much for me.
Yep.
And anyway, we did get down to Galveston, Texas.
Okay.
And I remember playing. We played at I think the place was called Mel's Funland at that time, and we played there two nights in a row, but. That I remember distinctly, but it was a lot of fun and a good experience, but I wouldn't want to do it full time.
Yeah. Now, back in the days, learning to play the trumpet, and in my impression, I've played concertina, I've played drums, and of course, trumpet. I've never played a reed instrument, but I think the trumpet is probably one of the more difficult instruments to play, just because of the fact that you really need to practice a lot to build up that embouchure, to keep that lip stiff, don't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I am not a practice player. I don't like practicing at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if we played twice a week, that was great. You know,
yep.
Then things were fine.
Yep.
And usually Friday and Saturday nights were the big nights, obviously.
Yeah.
And sometimes Sunday afternoons with a shower dance or something like that.
Sure.
But I was not I didn't like to practice.
Yeah.
So I'm never a practice person.
Well, and I know just from my experience playing trumpet too, I didn't mind practicing, but time. You just always could find 1,001 things that seemed to be more important than practicing, and so you tried to do all of this, whether it be playing sports or trapping or fishing or hunting or all these other activities, always had a little more glamour to it than practicing. So you did that, and because of that, you wouldn't build up that lip like some of the guys that would really practice daily and get that diaphragm and, you know, really tight and the lip good and stiff. So I just felt like trumpet, you really had to work at. And I don't know what it's like to play trombone or tuba, because those are bigger mouthpieces, if that's harder or easier. I'm not sure. Have you ever tried any of those?
I really have not, never.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were remembered and heralded as being one of the guys that could play Wonderland by Night. I mean, back in the days, we played polkas and waltzes and schottisches, and then the modern was the alternative. And as we were playing there, that's when things were starting to switch over, the younger generation wanting to hear some something other than old time. So they wanted modern or rock and roll. And, of course, we were really happy when Ron Eichmeier came into the band and brought his guitar along and would play a couple of rock tunes, and that would switch it up and satisfy the crowd. But, boy, back in the days, that swing music, that was fun to play, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very much fun to play.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I always thought Bert Kempfert had the best recording of Wonderland by Night. And, boy, a lot of nights that I heard you play it, I thought you rivaled him.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Cy.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And people really appreciated it, enjoyed it. You know, a lot of times they were looking for Wipeout or some rock tune or something like that. But I don't know. We always... Had a nice arrangement, nice number of arrangements in the modern library. As I recall, Wooden Shoe Rock or Landler, not Landler, what Wooden Shoe something was called. And then, of course, In the Mood and then Wonderland by Night and Stardust. And there was just a bunch of great songs, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I'm kind of a big band enthusiast. I like the old big bands from the 40s and 50s. So that's my kind of music.
Very good. Well, Daryl, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you if that's all right.
Very good.
All righty. Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. Did you know that the St. Joe Meat Market now makes a variety of nitrite-free or naturally cured products? Back in the day, there was a lot of speculation that nitrite, which is the curing agent used in sausage and other smoked meats to help preserve and color the products, was possibly linked to some illnesses and health-related problems. Spice companies have since discovered that the same results can be achieved by adding ingredients Bactoferm and celery juice powder, and that's from where nitrite occurs naturally. Folks with sensitivities to nitrite have reported back no ill effects from eating these products with the natural nitrite added. They are so excited to be able to eat hot dogs, brats, bacon, jerky, and a number of other products once again, and not have any ill effects after eating these products. These naturally cured products are located in the new bunker freezer along the west wall in the St. Joe Meat Market retail store. We usually make or produce a 25-pound or larger batch. The customer requesting the special product is allowed to purchase as much of the batch as they want, and then the rest is put out for sale. Check out our natural nitrite section the next time you stop by the St. Joe Meat Market. For any sausage-making questions you might have, be sure to ask for Jesse or Ryan in the sausage kitchen at the St. Joe Meat Market. And as always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or by phone, it's 320-363-4913. A big thank you from the gang at the St. Joe Meat Market in downtown St. Joe, Minnesota. Daryl, for being our guest on the program, and this is how it works. We put up a nice meat package at the St. Joe Meat Market, and along with Chasm, we send that out to you priority mail, and you get it in a day or so, and hope that you and Jane and those around you enjoy it in good health. How is that for you?
Thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. Well, yeah, thinking back of those glory days there playing with the bands, and, you know, sometimes I almost feel a little guilty. I kind of pinch myself. I can't believe it really happened. But I graduated from St. Cloud Tech in 1970. I became good friends with a guy by the name of Ron Eichmeyer. And so Ron was the one that Ray was kind of going through some transition there. He was getting some younger players. Danny and Roger had sort of stepped back and retired on the saxes. And I think your brother Ron might have been, or Roger Klopaki's brother Ron was playing second trumpet back then, and he backed off and moved away from the area. And so Ray went through a kind of a rejuvenation there of young players. So he got two new sax players out of high school there, Greg Schneider and Roger Kahn, those two guys on saxes. And then Ron says, how about you, Cy? Why don't you come in and be a trumpet player? So so I started playing behind you there as a second trumpet player. And that's how it all began for us there as we worked together. And I remember you, of course, living in Blaine. You'd always, we'd meet Ray someplace and drive with the bandwagon, but you were coming from the other direction. So you would come in by yourself always. And whether it was Spring Hill or Richmond or any of those great places that we played, we'd always look for you to come and join us.
Yeah, exactly, right. I do remember one thing. One night, it was either a Friday or a Saturday night, and I don't remember exactly when it was. But anyway, I was at home in Morris.
Okay.
I was still living at home.
Uh-huh.
And Gil's called about 9 o'clock. He says, "Where are you?" I says, "I'm at home." And he says, "We have a job tonight." And I said, "Where?" at the fairgrounds in St. Cloud. And I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
I thought, well, wait a minute now. So I jumped in my car, and I did go, and I got there about a little bit just before intermission. So, but I did make it, but that was the only time in my whole career that I had ever been late for a job.
Oh, my goodness. And that must just be an empty feeling.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. And of course, that was back in the day. I'm sure a big crowd there. And so the other guy, the other trumpet player, was probably trying to carry both books or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the other trumpet player was. It might have been Don Nelson. He played for a while.
Oh, yeah. I do remember Don. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm not exactly sure if it was him or who it was. But anyway, that was quite an experience.
Yes, I believe it. Back in those days, you played, what, about 50, 70 jobs a year, maybe more, huh?
Oh, yeah. We played almost every Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, that'd give you close to 100 jobs a year then. So, yeah. And
it was a lot.
Yeah.
So.
And then, you know, besides working a full-time job and having a family, so, yeah, you did make sacrifices. Family did, you know, you missed birthday, anniversary parties and things like that. That was the downside of playing. But it seemed like always when you got to the job, you had a good time.
Exactly right. No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. And, of course, it was always important to the occasion that you were playing for because, boy, back in those years, there was a lot of shower dances, wedding dances,
a lot of wedding dances.
Yeah, parties. Yeah, yeah. And so the people there, they were looking for you, and they wanted you to be at your best. And so, yeah, you'd kind of forget about the rest of your affairs, and you'd put on a good show for the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Daryl, our time is winding down. First of all, I just have to ask you, who did you look up to? I mean, you know, Gil was a prominent band in the area, but were there other bands, you know, you played some battle of bands against Jerry Schuft, Elmer Scheid, bands like that, Six Fat Dutchmen. Was there one in particular that you thought, boy, these guys are pretty good?
We did play a battle of bands with, I think it was Fez Fritchie at the Prom Ballroom in St. Paul.
Okay.
And that was interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
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 So, but anyway, we played at Prom. We played at Schlieff's Little City, and Medina.
Mm-hmm.
I think there.
Okay.
Yes. And there were a number of places that we played at down there, and but they were all really good times. But that Fez Fritchie one at the Prom was kind of the highlight of my career.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Fez was known for his antics. I mean, he was just a colorful guy up on stage, and he had so many novelty tunes that they did. So I know going out in my going out years, we had he came to Richmond quite often, and we'd go out there and see him, and he thoroughly entertained the crowd.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, Daryl, as you look back over your career, is there one occasion that maybe stands out more than the other that you really, anything happen, good, bad, or otherwise, that you might share with the listeners?
Well, I can't really think of any particular time. I think they were all a great time.
Yeah.
I just can't think of any one particular time that stands out more than any other.
Okay.
They were all a great time.
Yes, yes. Are you playing at all anymore, or when is the last time you picked up the trumpet?
Pretty much done. I picked up a trumpet I think it was a year ago this spring.
Okay.
And I played with my son and my granddaughter.
Okay.
That was the first and last time that I'll ever play the trumpet.
Okay. Yeah, those lips are pretty rubbery by now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Very good.
I do more singing than anything else. I do a lot of singing, though.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I sing in the Litchfield area men's chorus.
Okay.
And we have a quartet that I sing in, and I've directed a community choir, and I directed a church choir in Blaine, so I've been kind of involved with music all the time, but not the trumpet.
So there you go. And health-wise, you've been staying fairly healthy, you and Jane?
Yep, we have been very, very healthy. Yes.
Ah, that's awesome. Lucky. That is the biggest thing. People always ask me, how is retirement? And I say, as long as you can maintain your health, it's a good program.
Exactly right.
There you go. Well, Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today on our Musicians Come and Play. And I tell each and every guest, if the good Lord is willing that you and I are here down the road sometime, we'll do this thing again.
That sounds great.
All right, Daryl. You have a great afternoon. I'll talk to you off the air here in just a moment. There he goes, Mr. Daryl Voorhees, our 490th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by both the Ray Dronald Band and the Gil Styles Band in just a moment. Larry Rezavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 490th guest, our 490th program of our Musicians Come and Play program. And Daryl Voorhees, our guest, longtime great trumpet player from Central Minnesota, West Central Minnesota, and played with Gil Styles Band and also the Ray Dronald Band. So, yeah, fun to visit with Daryl and bring back some old memories. Well, we're coming up on 15 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading is at 14 degrees here in central Minnesota. Kicking our music off for our musical treat for Dancing Feet, it's going to be the Ray Dronald Orchestra, and this is off of Ray's latest recording. Daryl was a part of this. It's one called Terry's Polka. Thank you. Orchestra from back in 2007, a recording there of a Jolly Lumberjacks number, one called Terry's Polka. It's waltz time, one called When We Parted. Ronald Orchestra, great waltz tune there, When We Parted. One more on the way with the Ray Ronald Orchestra, one called At the Mill Polka. Thank you. played Ronald Orchestra from his 1960s recording there, one called At the Mill Polka. Great stuff for you there here on KASM. 23 minutes past the hour of 12 noon in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that is always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours. Yes, Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texting me some information for us today, saying, Happy New Year to everyone in Chasm Land from Jeannie B's Tours. What a year we have planned for our traveling friends. This is the year to tour more in 24. Mark your calendars for one of the many February meet and greets being held in the area locations. These tour itinerary presentations will give you the information about tours that interest you. Here are some of the February dates, locations, and times. So on February 1st, they'll be at the Tutti Frutti Kitchen in Sox Center from 9 until 10:30 a.m., then at the Traveler's Inn in Alexandria from 1 until 2:30. On February 5th, Jeannie B's will be at Avon Cabin Cafe in Avon from 10 until 11, and then at Kay's Kitchen in St. Joe from about 1:30 until 3. On February 9th, they'll be from 9 until 11 at Jill's Cafe in Richmond and Charlie's Cafe in Freeport that afternoon from 1 until 3 to see the narrated slide presentation of the following tours in 2024. Call of the Wild, Alaska, Canadian Rockies, Banff, Glacier, and Lake Louise, Treasures of Ireland, Danube River Cruise, including Germany and Austria, Fall Colors of New England, Rails and Trails, Great Canadian Cities, and Hawaii. Call Jeannie B's Tours at 320-345-1581 to reserve your seats for these presentations. Now is the time to register for the Spring Daycation and Minications. The Branson Spring Music Fest departs April 17th for 6 days of awesome music and sightseeing. The trees are green, the flowers are blooming, and what a cure for your winter cabin fever. Reserve for your group today. Again, call Jeannie B's 320-345-1581 for details and cost. You can enjoy treats, prizes, and see where you might want to go at one of the February meet and greets. A tour more in 24. Jeannie B's schedule will be mailed to you upon request. Check out their website or follow them on Facebook. And Jeannie always says, remember, seeing is believing. That's Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And if I read this a little fast, there's a lot of information there. Again, give Jeannie a call, 320-345-1581. I've had the chance to listen to Jeannie and experience Jeannie on the bus, and she takes time for everyone. She talks slower. She can talk fast, but she talks slower when you want to find out information, and she will explain to you. And, speaking from experience the last 3 years now, you certainly will have a great time when you travel with Jeannie B's Tours. So give her a call as she's waiting for you. You can call her right now, 320-345-1581. Jeannie B's Tours, bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 26 minutes now past the hour of 12, 14 degrees, our temperature here in Albany. Going to switch over to the band that Daryl Voorhees started with, and that is the Gil Style Band. It's actually the same band as the Ray Dronel Band, same book of music, just that Gil was the concertina player when he owned the band, and then when he sold it to Ray, then Ray was the concertina player, but pretty much the same musicians otherwise through the years. And right now it's Gil Style with the Mountain Excursion Polka. We'll be right back. The Gill Style Orchestra with the Mountain Excursion Polka. 29 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. 14 degrees here in central Minnesota. And yes, bringing back memories. Of course, Gill Style had his own program on Sunday afternoons. They would play, he sponsored his own program and play music of the Gill Style's orchestra for about 15 minutes. And then, of course, was the Whoopi John 15 minutes. So that was back in the days here on Chasm. Well, right now it's waltz time with the Gill Style Orchestra, the Foundling Waltz. Gill Styles and the orchestra, nice waltz tune there, one called the Foundling Waltz. Time for just a couple more selections by Gill Style and the band. Here's Grandfather's Clock.
Thank you.
McGill Style Orchestra with a real classic there, one called the Grandfather's Clock Polka. 25 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, 14 degrees our temperature here in Albany. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're going to do that with a nice waltz tune, one that Gil recorded back in the days, one called the Vagabond Waltz. Guild Style Orchestra with one called the Vagabond Waltz, wrapping up our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. We're coming up on 23 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, temperature reading of 14 degrees here in central Minnesota.